active COVID-19 cases in the Philippines now at an all-time high. Meanwhile, government eyeing shorter quarantine periods for the vaccinated. Transport groups raise concerns on the implementation of the no vaccination, no ride policy in Metro Manila. And the U.S. presents its most detailed case yet against China's maritime claims. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Topping the midday news, active COVID cases in the Philippines now at an all-time high. From just around 10,000 2 weeks ago, active cases are now at 208,164. That's after the health department logged 32,246 more infections Wednesday. Authorities say it's still too early to tell if the Omicron-driven surge has hit its peak.
This is not an indication that the peak is over. We might still be in the acceleration phase of our surge.
Government eyeing shortened quarantine time despite the continued rise in COVID-19 infections. Under the proposal, the isolation period for vaccinated individuals with a symptomatic or mild COVID-19 will be shortened to 7 days. Their close contacts who are fully vaccinated would only have to isolate for 5 days. Meanwhile, the unvaccinated or partially inoculated that are probable, mild, or asymptomatic cases will have to undergo isolation for 10 days. Testing will also no longer be required unless symptoms develop.
From evidence, we also see the continuous rise in the number of cases, that most of the cases remains to be asymptomatic and mild cases, showing the effectiveness of our vaccines against severe disease and death. Also, most recent evidence on Omicron variant also shows that it tends to present with milder symptoms. The prolonged quarantine and isolation duration has been causing strain to our healthcare system and our economy. And our experts believe that specifically for the Omicron variant, the benefits of shortening quarantine outweighs the risk. This seems to be consistent with global practice as we see other countries updating its quarantine and isolation processes.
The proposed changes in the isolation period not sitting well with Philippine College of Physicians President Dr. Maricar Limpin.
Okay lang kung puro Omicron lang kasi parang medyo hindi siya ganun talaga palala, di ba? Pero may kasamang Delta variant. So alam natin na ang Delta variant talagang medyo severe ang mga sakit na dulot nito. Kung very short yung natin, then yung gagamitin natin for the general public, baka maraming madisgrasya.
The health department also looking to shift to targeted contact tracing in Metro Manila to maximize resources. This means tracing will focus on the vulnerable population and less on those who came in close contact with a COVID-positive patient. Some health experts backing that proposal.
Because of the epidemiologic assessment natin sa ating sitwasyon sa ngayon, because of the very high transmission rate in our community, specifically here in NCR, hindi ho priority ngayon ang contact tracing.
For example, may isang kaso, ang hahanapin mo, meron po ba kayo mga kamag-anak or na-encounter na may comorbidities, matanda, di ba, or bata? So mas specific yung hinahanap natin na ite-trace rather than itatanong mo sino lahat ang iyong nagkaroon ka ng contact.
But the country's contact tracing chief has his reservations.
Sana huwag na mag-undermine yung contact tracing because critical pa rin yan doon sa ating strategy. Contact tracing dictates yung testing rate. The more you contact trace, the more tests you conduct, the higher test that you conduct, you'll be able to seek out yung mga positive.
The Philippines is facing a shortage in contact tracers. Just this year, 16,000 contact tracers were terminated because of lack of funds. 28 more areas in the Philippines placed under COVID alert level 3. The higher alert level will take effect Friday and will be enforced until the end of the month. Alert level 3 will cover 16 more Luzon provinces, 7 more localities in the Visayas region, and 5 more areas in Mindanao. Government earlier placed 19 areas, including Metro Manila, under alert level 3. The Education Department awaiting the advice of health authorities regarding calls for a so-called health break in schools. The Alliance of Concerned Teachers and the Teachers Dignity Coalition have been pushing for a 2-week academic break in areas under alert level 3. That's amid the rising number of infections among students, faculty, and other school personnel. But Education Secretary Leonor Briones says they will have to take into account the health department's risk assessment. She also cited how a health break may affect the required 220 school calendar days. In the meantime, the agency is urging its regional offices and school division offices to exercise discretion in suspending classes. The Ateneo de Manila University postpones its plan to resume in-person classes this January. University President Roberto Yap says the postponement covers both undergraduate and postgraduate programs, as well as on-site work. But limited in-person classes in the Ateneo School of Medicine and Public Health, as well as the administration of the bar exams at the Ateneo Law School, will proceed with strict adherence to health and safety protocols. The Philippine Higher Education Commission has said tertiary schools in areas under Alert Level 3 are allowed to defer the resumption of face-to-face classes if existing conditions are unfavorable. The Commission on Human Rights slams the Transportation Department's vaccination and no-ride policy in Metro Manila. The CHR said the rule restricts a person's fundamental right to travel. It adds the move also prevents the general public from accessing essential goods and services. The Transportation Department has defended the policy. It says only a small portion of Metro Manila's population will be affected, with 91% of residents already vaccinated. Local transport groups also raising concerns over the no vaccine and no ride policy in Metro Manila. Jeepney Group Piston says it will only bring added work to drivers to check if their passengers are vaccinated or not. It adds the group was not even consulted about the policy.
Sa bahagi po namin, implement po namin yung policy na batay doon sa inilabas ng guidelines ng ITF. Pero paano naman po yung mga pasahero na talagang gusto po gusto sumakay at pumunta sa kanilang paroroonan. Dapat ang tingin po namin ay masusi pa itong pinag-aralan ng DOTR bago ito in-implement.
Another transport group says the policy may not be implemented properly.
Ang gusto nilang mangyari, yun lang po aming mga konduktor ang mag-control kung yung pasaherong sumasakay may vaccine card o wala. So, hindi po yun nagiging realidad dahil dapat po ang gobyerno magtayo ng pulisya na sa lahat ng bus stop, meron pong enforcers ng gobyerno, merong tumutulong.
Village officials instructed to make an inventory of individuals vaccinated against COVID-19. The Interior Department says this is in line with President Duterte's order to impose mobility restrictions on those who have yet to get jabbed. An Interior official says only the cities of Navotas, Makati, and Pasig have not yet passed local ordinances on the matter in Metro Manila.
We expect that in the next few days ay mapapasa na po ito dahil unanimous naman po yung naging desisyon ng lahat ng mayors ng Metro Manila. It all begins with an inventory. And then pag meron na po tayong inventaryo, doon na po i-implement ng LGU through a ordinance yung mga restrictions sa movement ng mga unvaccinated individuals.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Pfizer eyes to deliver COVID-19 shots for children aged 5 to 11 to the Philippines by next week. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Active COVID-19 cases in the Philippines now at an all-time high. Meanwhile, government eyeing shorter quarantine periods for the unvaccinated. Transport groups raise concerns on the implementation of the no vaccination, no ride policy in Metro Manila. And the U.S. presents its most detailed case yet against China's maritime claims. Back with more news. In Cavite, vaccinations in Tansa and Alfonso have been suspended as more health workers contract COVID-19. Our very own Michael Deliso on the line now with details. Mike, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, several towns in Cavite province have suspended inoculation against COVID-19 due to the wave of infection among health workers. In Tansa town, Mayor Yuri Pacomio said this week's schedule of vaccination was suspended and will resume next week at Felipe Calderon Elementary School, but only for those who have appointment. No booster shot will be administered next week to prioritize the inoculation of primary doses. The Tansa Municipal Hall was also closed starting today and will resume operation next week. About 147,000 individuals were already fully vaccinated in Tansa, or that's equivalent to 79.96% of the 185,000 target population. Meanwhile, the Alfonso town also suspended today's vaccination rollout and operation of public offices while waiting for the COVID-19 test results of government employees. The Cavite provincial capital, on the other hand, was implementing work-from-home arrangements with employees due to the spike of COVID-19 cases. And that's the latest from Cavite. Back to you, Carmina.
How is this affecting, Mike, just a couple of questions for you. How is this affecting the delivery of services there in Cavite?
Yes, Carmina. Actually, several towns and cities here in Cavite have already suspended their operation, you know, since earlier this week. And this closure of municipal halls have been affecting the services. And, you know, people are going to these municipal halls, trying to get services, but to no avail, they cannot get these services. And they were advised to come back again next week, or, you know, some other municipal halls have no schedule yet on when they can resume their operation. So it's affecting really the services of the government, of the LGUs here, as well as the administration of vaccines. The inoculation program has been suspended in several towns and cities here, and it is slowing down the administration of vaccines here, Carmina.
You know, Mike, this reminds me of the situation in some LUs. I think it was during the first surge when the delivery of services, government services, really took a hit. You're telling us mostly about, you know, documentation that's required or being dispensed with in various government offices there. But what about, for example, the collection of trash? The cleaning up of the city, is that getting affected as well, Mike?
That's right. So, you know, some of those services are getting affected by this closure. And, you know, the municipal halls just resumed operations of those essential services, such as the city hall's office, that's the operation is ongoing. But for other offices, they are really closed and are not operating. So it's really affecting the services of the cities and towns here in the province.
Okay, hopefully things get better and things begin to look up there and also in other the provinces and cities affected by this surge. Thanks again, Mike, for joining us today. Michael Deliso there joining us on the line. Take care, Michael, and you keep safe. Moving on, COVID-19 cases among healthcare workers in Metro Manila, that's still on the rise. The country's COVID-19 hospitalization chief, Dr. Leopoldo Vega, says there are more than 3,000 medical staff who are currently in isolation after contracting the virus. That's roughly around 11% of the total healthcare workers in the National Capital Region. But Vega maintains the situation in hospitals remains manageable. The health official, meanwhile, backs shorter isolation and quarantine periods for health workers.
Manageable pa rin, pero yun nga, nag-strategize na rin ng ibang hospitals na magko-close ng ibang services nila like OPD, special services, at saka yung mga elective surgeries nila, pinupostpone muna kasi alam nila na kailangan na makover nila yung deployment for the healthcare workers doon sa COVID-allocated areas nila. Kailangan na talaga i-update ang protocols ng COVID-19 based ito sa vaccinations natin at saka of course sa behavior ng Omicron. Kasi nakita nila yung Omicron, ang incubation period nito lesser na 2 to 3 days.
Overseas COVID deaths in the U.S. up by about 40% from the previous week. Hospitalizations have also increased by 33%. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said the recent increase in deaths is likely a lagging effect of the Delta variant, which was surging before Omicron took hold in December. But the rise in cases and hospitalizations is due to Omicron. The CDC also expects the latest wave of infections to peak in the coming weeks. As hospitalizations in the U.S. rise, so has the pressure on America's healthcare system. Philippine Ambassador to the U.S. Jose Manuel Romualdez says this has pushed the demand for more foreign doctors and nurses, Filipinos in particular.
There are quite a number of nurses, pending visas for nurses from the Philippines that I think is being considered now very seriously that they'd like to bring them over. Of course, these are nurses that have already been approved for moving to the United States as health workers. Probably at least 100,000pending cases, visa. Yeah.
You know, Romualdez revealed Pfizer is looking to deliver COVID-19 jabs for 5 to 11 years old to the Philippines by next week. The Philippines has ordered 10 million doses of Pfizer's vaccines. Mexico also posting a record high number of new cases. It recorded 44,187 new cases Wednesday, surpassing the previous high 33,600 cases set the previous day. Officials say, although infections are surging, hospital occupancy remains low. The number of people hospitalized for COVID is 85% lower than the peak in January last year. Australia reports its biggest pandemic caseload amid a runaway Omicron outbreak. More than 147,000 new infections were recorded as of Thursday morning. New hospital admissions and people admitted to intensive care are also at their highest. But authorities said the healthcare system can still cope with the rising cases. The surge in infections has also put a strain on supply chains, forcing authorities to ease quarantine rules for more workers. Calls grow for British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to step down as he apologized in Parliament for attending a gathering in his Downing Street office during lockdown. More in this report.
Mr. Speaker, I want to apologize.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has apologized to Parliament on Wednesday for a Bring Your Own Booze gathering that was held at his official residence during the country's first lockdown.
I regret very much that we did not do things differently.
This was the first time he admitted he had attended the party at 10 Downing Street on 20th of May 2020, when COVID-19 rules limited social gatherings to the bare minimum.
And when I went into that garden just after 6 on the 20th of May 2020 to thank groups of staff before going back into my office 25 minutes later to continue working, I believed implicitly that this was a work event. I know that millions of people across this country have made extraordinary sacrifices over the last 18 months, and I know the rage they feel with me and with the government I lead when they think that in Downing Street itself the rules are not being properly followed by the people who make the rules.
Opposition Labour Party leader Keir Starmer said Johnson must now resign.
After months of deceit and deception, the pathetic spectacle of a man who's run out of road. His defence that he didn't realise he was at a party. It is so ridiculous that it's actually offensive to the British public. He was hosting boozy parties in Downing Street. Is he now going to do the decent thing and resign?
Mr. Speaker.
In response, the Prime Minister deferred to an internal investigation into other allegations that he and his officials held rule-breaking parties.
That I wish things had been done differently.
Two snap polls on Tuesday showed well over half of the respondents thought Johnson should resign. There are also mutterings that Conservative lawmakers, who can trigger a leadership challenge in Parliament, are sharpening their knives.
Canada's second most populous province eyeing a different but also controversial vaccination rule. And as this report tells us, Quebec plans to tax adults refusing to get a COVID jab.
Residents refusing a COVID-19 vaccine in Canada's Quebec province may soon have to pay a tax instead. Governments around the world have imposed varying restrictions on the unvaccinated, but a sweeping tax would be a rare and controversial move. Citing the financial burden unvaccinated people are putting on the system, Premier François Legault said on CTV Tuesday that the tax would likely be up to $100 Canadian, or around $80 US.
Those who refuse to receive their first dose.
He added that the unfinished proposal wouldn't apply to those who can't get vaccinated for medical reasons. Provinces across Canada are experiencing exponential surges in COVID-19 cases due to the Omicron variant, and Quebec is one of the worst hit. Last month, Quebec said it had no choice but to allow some essential workers to continue working, even after testing positive for the virus, in order to prevent staff shortages from halting healthcare services. Legault says that even though only 10% of the province population remains unvaccinated, they make up about 50% of their intensive care units. Whether a tax on the unvaccinated could survive court challenges will depend on the details. On Monday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that the federal government had secured enough vaccine doses for all eligible Canadians to receive a booster as well as a fourth dose.
In other news, China earns another strong rebuke from the U.S. over its maritime claims. In its most detailed case yet, Washington said in a 47-page research paper, Beijing had no basis under international law for its sweeping claims in the South China Sea. The paper rejected both China's geographic and historic basis for its vast divisive map. The U.S. State Department again tells China to cease its unlawful maritime activities, which have put the country on a collision course with the Philippines, Vietnam, and other Southeast Asian nations. Philippine Ambassador to the U.S. Jose Manuel Romualdez says this proves Washington's commitment to back Manila.
It's important to know that our strategy now with the United States is clear, that we have a strong alliance and that it's not the visiting forces alone, but it is an exchange of information, which is very important. And then, of course, our alliance with other countries like Japan, Australia, and the other countries in our part of the world is very important as part of the strategy. This is what we call the Indo-Pacific strategy, which was formulated more than a year ago. In fact, longer than that, even before President Biden came into power. So that strategy is now in place. We have a situation where it's clear that any attack on the Philippines is an attack on the United States.
A Filipino seaman is among the crew members of a cargo ship hijacked by Houthi rebels. The ship Ruabi was taken on January 3 as it was carrying medical equipment for a hospital on Socotra Island in Yemen. The vessel has 11 crew members. The Philippine Foreign Affairs Department said it is aware of the hijacking and that the hostages have not been harmed. The DFA is still waiting for more information regarding the incident. The Biden administration imposes its first sanctions on North Korea over its nuclear weapons program. This comes just days after Pyongyang conducted its first two missile launches of the year. The sanctions targeted six North Koreans, one Russian, and a Russian firm, which the U.S. said were responsible for procuring parts for the weapons from Russia and China. The U.S. said the sanctions aim to prevent the advancement of North Korea's programs and to impede its attempts to proliferate weapons technologies. The State Department adds Washington remains committed to pursue diplomacy with North Korea. The COMELEC dismissed the petition by a faction of the ruling PDP-Laban Party to reopen the period for filing of certificates of candidacy. The faction, led by Energy Secretary Alfonso Cusi, sought this amid unresolved cases against several candidates and party list groups. The COMELEC says it did not find any merit in the PDP-Laban petition. The poll body also denied a petition seeking the postponement of the May 9th elections. The petition filed by the National Coalition for Life and Democracy urged the COMELEC to move the polls to 2025 due to the pandemic. The party list of former Metropolitan Manila Development Authority spokesperson Celine Pialago disqualified by the COMELEC for the upcoming national elections. The poll body says Malasakit movement failed to prove it was representing a marginalized sector. But Pialago isn't fazed. She says there are other ways she may still be able to participate in the May polls. Meanwhile, the party list of former government official and Duterte blogger Mocha Uson called Mothers for Change, well, it got the COMELEC's nod. Uson and the party list's second nominee, former beauty queen Michelle Gumabao, were earlier criticized for representing the group, even if they're not mothers themselves. I'm going to take another break. Still ahead, inflation in the U.S. soars to its highest level in 40 years. This is Dateline Philippines. We'll be right back. Stay with us here on ANC. More news. U.S. inflation soars to its fastest pace in four decades. The consumer price index surged 7%, the biggest increase since June 1982. The jump was driven by price increases in housing and used cars and trucks. It also comes as the pandemic continues to hit supply chains with renewed lockdowns due to the Omicron variant. December's 7% inflation is well above the Federal Reserve's 2% target, supporting expectations the central bank could raise interest rates as early as March. Economists expect the Fed to hike rates 3 to 4 times this year.
We started to see measurable improvement in the supply chain such that it really reduced the price pressures. That does take some pressure off the Fed, or it just helps them get from here to there with fewer rate hikes in the short term. However, the supply chain issue has been around a lot longer than we thought it was going to be. We're pretty close to peak inflation now. I mean, it's really only evident in hindsight, but we might be pretty close to that right now. But that's little consolation, because although the rate of inflation may moderate, prices are still going up, and they're still going to go up at a much faster pace than what we have become accustomed to.
Here at home, former ICT Acting Secretary Eliseo Rio Jr. asserts he is not to blame for the failed implementation of the Philippine government's free Wi-Fi project for remote areas. On Tuesday, a House panel recommended graft charges against Rio over his alleged negligence in choosing who to partner with for the program and its poor implementation. But Rio insists everything with the project was above board and going well up until he left the department.
UNDP has the expertise. It has access to VSAT and satellite providers. That's why we partnered with them, no? And of course, we know that UNDP has been helping development programs the Philippines since 1946. At walang bahid ng kahit anong anomalya, no corruption issues. All of this incident happened after I have left, no? Almost a year after, then there is this slowdown, there is this smuggling issue. These are part of, you know, the responsibility of whoever is in charge of the project. And who is that? That is Secretary Hunasan, the chairman of the Blue Ribbon, Congressional Blue Ribbon Committee is Congressman Michael Aglipay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Congressman Aglipay is the son of the former PNP chief, General Edgar Aglipay, who is the classmate of Hunasan in PMA.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I am ready to answer any charges against me.
For many, managing personal finance has been a struggle during this pandemic. Here's Warren de Guzman to give us tips on how to stay afloat amid this latest COVID-19 surge.
Menchi Kwan is confident the eatery she runs with her family will keep the money flowing, even if the alert level is raised over Metro Manila, being in the essential services category. But she admits the sharp rise in new COVID-19 cases has her concerned.
Malaking dalugi kasi yun na nga, ayaw lumabas ng mga tao. Karamihan, pabili na lang ng pabili. So, yun mo talaga maano sila na natatakot din sila sa virus.
Registered financial planner Jesse Bondoc says the record-breaking surge in COVID may be scary because it makes people feel they have no control, especially with the threat of heightened mobility restrictions, which could force temporary business shutdowns and job losses.
The first step in regaining that control or somehow empowering yourself in regaining that control is alamin mo muna nasaan ka ngayon. So list down everything that you own. That includes all your assets. Lahat ng mga bagay na meron ka that has monetary value na possibly mong pwedeng iliquidate or invent in the future.
Knowing how much money is coming in, how much assets can be sold to take care of needs, and how much needs to be spent to survive is a big step. It can provide a confidence boost if expenses and debts are low and assets are high, or it can clearly define financial problems, making them easier to address. Bondoc is particular about this step because it will also lead to the next steps to survival. Bondoc says trimming the fat or cutting down on unnecessary expenses like subscriptions, dining out, and shopping can make things much easier, but it can also be a difficult step. But he notes everyone has at least 2 years' experience with this, thanks to the pandemic.
One thing na natutunan natin during the series of lockdowns that we had last year and even what's going on right now is we can live with lesser.
If the budget is still coming up short, Bondoc says it's time to find extra income, and once again, the pandemic's lessons will come in handy. He notes so many entrepreneurs were born over the last 2 years, cooking or writing their way through the pandemic. He believes any skill can lead to additional income.
Pinakamagandang gawin dyan is kahit dun sa circle of friends mo lang, no? Tawagin mo lahat ng mga friends mo, ano yung problema nyo na naging na pwede kong solutionan right now, no? Possible, naghahanap ng tutor, magaling ka sa math, magaling ka sa English, you can do a side hustle.
The current COVID-19 surge brings a lot of uncertainty, but Bondoc believes anyone who has survived this long has what it takes to make it. Warren de Guzman, ABS-CBN News.
A Filipino-American business owner finds success by selling pre-loved home items. Our very own Len Almaden Thornhill reports.
Each of these once treasured items is bound to find a new home, thanks to Leonor Balderes.
This is a medical dental chair. I just sold one.
This Phil M. owns a vintage store in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia, where she sells used furniture, furnishings, and home items.
It's a television. This is 1950s. The sound is working right now. And then I have someone in Decatur that coming because he specializes in tube. So I hope this is going to work. If this doesn't go to work, we have option B.
Owning this store was Balderes' option B.
I don't know anything about vintage before. I know about business and how you're going to marketing, you know, bookkeeping. But as you go, when you do a business, I think any business, small or big business, you learn as you go.
This Olongapo City native works as a custodian at Cobb County School District. When she was in her late 40s, Magderes decided to get her college degree in accounting. She was an intern at Desperate Housewares when an unexpected opportunity presented itself.
This is just by accident, because the owner of the store, Mr. Light Brown, had a terrible accident, and they're planning to close the store. And I told them that this store very had a potential. Whatever you sell it here, because we're in a great location.
Each piece she sells is carefully chosen. Part of her revenue comes from production companies that rent the items for movies and television shows.
But that's been used at least 4 or 5 times in a movie.
Valderes admits she's not doing this for fame or fortune.
This kind of business, you're not going to be rich, because when it comes to sales or revenue, it's just like something that you can just pay the bills.
But like all that's in here, she has found her purpose.
I'm mentoring some of small business, because the way I experience it, a lawyer costs too much. When they open the business, when I open this one, I hire a lawyer. It's too expensive.
Valderes also opens her shop to host local events like a book signing for a local author or showcasing a local artist's work. Desperate Housewares, she says, is home, not just for secondhand items, but an open place for people in her community. Len Amadin Thornhill, ABS-CBN News, Atlanta, Georgia.
In sports, tennis top seed Novak Djokovic reveals an administrative error on his entry document to Australia. The Australian government is still studying on what to do with his visa days before he's set to defend his Australian Open crown. This report.
Novak Djokovic admitted on Wednesday that an incorrect answer was made on his Australia entry forms. The world number one tennis star's visa to play in the Australian Open is still in doubt as government officials now consider whether to deport him over the error. Giving false or misleading information is an offence carrying a maximum penalty of 12 months in prison and a fine of up to $4,730. It can also lead to the cancellation of the offender's visa. Djokovic said his travel declaration was filled in by his support team, who made an administrative mistake. The team member ticked the no box in response to whether he had travelled elsewhere in the 14 days before arriving in Australia. Questions arose about the Serbian star's movements when social media posts appeared to show him in Belgrade less than 2 weeks before he headed to Spain and then on to Australia. In a post on his Instagram account, he said, quote, "This was human error and certainly not deliberate. We are living in challenging times in a global pandemic, and sometimes these mistakes can occur." The player also apologises in his statement for attending an interview and photo shoot on December the 18th, the day after he said he learned he had tested positive for COVID-19 for the second time. Djokovic was only released from Melbourne's immigration detention on Monday after being held there for several days. Officials had revoked his visa amid questions over his medical exemption for a requirement to be vaccinated against COVID-19. That decision was quashed by a judge on Monday, who called the cancellation of his visa unreasonable. The tennis star now faces the possibility of having his visa revoked for a second time, just days before he's due to defend his title at the Australian Open.
I'm going to take a look again at our top stories today. Active COVID cases in the Philippines now at an all-time high from just around 10,000 some 2 weeks ago. Active cases are now at 208,164. That's after the health department logged 32,246 more infections Wednesday. Authorities are saying that it's still too early to tell if the Omicron-driven surge has hit its peak.
This is not an indication that the peak is over. We might still be in the acceleration phase of our surge.
Government eyeing shortened quarantine time despite the continued rise in COVID-19 infections. That's what people are talking about now. Under that proposal, the isolation period for vaccinated individuals with a symptomatic or mild COVID-19 will be shortened to 7 days. Their close contacts who are fully vaccinated would only have to isolate for 5 days. Meanwhile, the unvaccinated or partially inoculated that are probable, mild, or symptomatic cases will have to undergo isolation for 10 days. Testing will also no longer be required unless symptoms develop.
From evidence, we also see the continuous rise in the number of cases, that most of the cases remains to be asymptomatic and mild cases, showing the effectiveness of our vaccines against severe disease and death. Also, most recent evidence on Omicron variant also shows that it tends to present with milder symptoms. The prolonged quarantine and isolation duration has been causing strain to our healthcare system and our economy. And our experts believe that specifically for the Omicron variant, the benefits of shortening quarantine outweighs the risk. This seems to be consistent with global practice as we see other countries updating its quarantine and isolation processes.
The proposed changes in the isolation period not sitting well with Philippine College of Physicians President Dr. Maricar Limon.
Okay lang kung puro Omicron lang kasi parang medyo hindi siya ganun talaga palala, di ba? Pero may kasamang Delta variant. So alam natin na ang Delta variant talagang medyo severe ang mga sakit na dulot nito. Eh kung very short yung natin, then yung gagamitin natin for the general public, baka maraming madisgrasya.
The health department also looking to shift to targeted contact tracing in Metro Manila to maximize resources. This means tracing will focus on the vulnerable population and less on those who came in close contact with a COVID-positive patient. Some health experts are backing that proposal.
Because of the epidemiologic assessment natin sa ating sitwasyon sa ngayon, because of the very high transmission rate in our community, specifically here in NCR, hindi ho priority ngayon ang contact tracing.
For example, may isang kaso, ang hahanapin mo, meron po ba kayo mga kamag-anak or na-encounter na may comorbidities, matanda, di ba, or bata? So mas specific yung hinahanap natin na ite-trace rather than itatanong mo sino lahat ang iyong nagkaroon ka ng contact.
But the country's contact tracing chief has his reservations.
Sana huwag na mag-undermine yung contact tracing because critical pa rin yan doon sa ating strategy. Contact tracing dictates yung testing rate. The more you contact trace, the more tests you conduct, the higher test that you conduct, you'll be able to seek out yung mga positive.
The Philippines is facing a shortage in contact tracers. Just this year, 16,000 contact tracers were terminated because of lack of funds. Well, 28 more areas in the Philippines have been placed under COVID alert level 3. The higher alert level would take effect Friday and will be enforced until the end of the month. Alert level 3 will cover 16 more Luzon provinces, 7 more localities in the Visayas region, and 5 more areas in Mindanao. Government earlier placed 19 areas, including Metro Manila, under alert level 3. COVID-19 cases among healthcare workers in Metro Manila still on the rise. The country's COVID-19 hospitalization chief, Dr. Leopoldo Vega, says there are more than 3,000 medical staff who are currently in isolation after contracting the virus. But Vega maintains the situation in hospitals remains manageable. Health official, meanwhile, backs shorter isolation and quarantine periods for health workers.
Manageable pa rin, pero yun nga, nag-strategize na rin ng ibang hospitals na magko-close ng ibang services nila like OPD, special services, at saka yung mga elective surgeries nila, pinupostpone muna kasi alam nila na kailangan na mag-cover nila yung deployment for the healthcare workers doon sa COVID allocated areas nila. Kailangan na talaga i-update ang protocols ano ng COVID-19 based ito sa vaccinations natin at saka of course sa behavior ng Omicron, kasi nakita nila na yung Omicron ang incubation period nito lesser na 2 to 3 days.
A Filipino-American kicks off his bid to become the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania. That and more from our North America Bureau correspondent, Romel Conclara.
We begin with fellow Republican Jeff Coleman kicking off his campaign for Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, saying he wants to bring civility and kindness back not only in government, but in every family in the Keystone State.
I'm on a mission to help restore these values to the public square, and I'm asking you to join me on this mission before it is too late.
Republicans, Democrats, and independents came together to lend their support to Coleman.
His values of civility, decorum, and respect. Values that make him the best candidate for your lieutenant governor. During this challenging time where people are being pushed toward isolation and division with friends and neighbors, turning our communities into battlefields.
I'm asking you, wherever you are today, to join this campaign. Help me win the Republican State Committee endorsement on February 5th, win the primary this May, and bring civility, kindness, and statesmanship back to public service.
So what's going on, man? You're going to get out?
Yeah,
get out, quick.
What are you doing?
Take it, get out.
Let's go to Calgary, where a Filipino-Canadian family became a victim of an attempted carjacking. Jonathan Bandialan drove to a nearby Filipino restaurant with his family and was waiting to get their order, when the suspect suddenly opened their van and told his kids who stayed in the vehicle to get out.
Don't be calling nobody.
Yeah.
Get the f*** out.
16-year-old Justine Bandialan, who was with his 2-year-old sister in the van, quickly called his dad, who rushed back to the car and put the suspect in a chokehold. Jonathan broke the suspect's fingers and poked his eyes to disable him.
Okay, I'll get out.
Father and son both described the suspect as about 6 feet tall, Caucasian, of slim build, and in his 30s. And in sports, on January 22nd in Atlantic City, New Jersey, Filipino boxer Mark Magnifico Magsayo gets his long-awaited world title shot against WC featherweight champion Gary Russell Jr. Magsayo is undefeated in 23 bouts. His recent win over Julio Ceja won him Premier Boxing Champions Knockout of the Year Award.
I want to prove that to the people in the Philippines, not only in the Philippines, but in the whole world, that I'm the best in my way.
Russell has a 31-1 record with 5 successful world title defenses. Ramal Conclara, ABS-CBN News.
Entertainment news now. Filipino singer Zach Tabudlo just caught the attention of international star Shawn Mendes. Tabudlo took to social media to express his joy after Mendes reacted to his cover of the Canadian performer's song, It'll Be Okay. He was surprised to see Mendes dropping a black heart in the comment section and liking his cover video on social media platform TikTok. The 20-year-old Filipino artist has been making waves in the local music scene following the release of his now viral hit, Bini Bini. For more on that story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And before we go, next on In Focus, Senate President Vicente Soto III joins us to discuss his bid for the vice presidency in the 2022 polls. Our interview with Senate President Soto is set for tomorrow, January 14th, here on Dateline Philippines. If you got any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC27 on Facebook. Just don't forget to use the hashtag ANCInFocus. That'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.